You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fan Side of Network. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Recording this post-game, Wolves-Warriors on Monday night, of course, 9 p.m. Central tip. I live in the Central Time Zone. Wrote a bit of a player grades post for Dunking with Wolves. So it is middle of the night right now, recording this following Wolves Warriors. What I want to do today is go through the game, the high points throughout the game, as well as studs and duds, and then overall takeaways from the game. I'm going to try to not rehash the D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins stuff too much. We'll touch a little bit on it. But on Wednesday's show, Wes Goldberg and I, Wes, of course, of the Locked On Warriors podcast, are going to talk all things D'Lo and Wiggins in that trade. Of course, D'Angelo Russell did not play in the game on Monday due to a quad contusion. He was questionable. So seems like there's a chance he'd play Wednesday. Wiggins did play and played fairly well against the Wolves. So plenty to talk about on that front here over the next few days. And we will definitely get to that this week. First off the top of the show, a quick reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. So Wolves going to Golden State. According to betonline.ag, they were 8.5-point underdogs in this game. The Warriors had lost two straight games, one to the Knicks and one on the road to the Jazz. So, and the Warriors actually, you know, I talked about this on the preview show on Monday. They played one of the more difficult schedules in the league this year. And in fact, they actually showed this during the broadcast. The Warriors have the most difficult strength of schedule to this point in the NBA, according to win percentage, at least, and really didn't have any bad losses. The Knicks are probably the worst team they've lost to. So the Warriors are probably outperforming my expectations a little bit this year. And this was certainly a game that they were expected to win with no Karl Anthony Towns and no D'Angelo Russell. Sure enough, they jumped out to an early lead. They were actually up 19-4 in the first quarter, and it looked like it could be an extremely long night, but the Wolves actually fought back fairly well. For as slow as they started at the very beginning of the game, for the remaining three and a half plus quarters of the game, they played really hard. Really everybody that saw the court for the Timberwolves played hard in this game. It was that sluggish start that got them into a big hole. They did fight back and get it to within, actually by about the minute and a half mark or minute and a half remaining in the first quarter, the Wolves were back within nine. I mean, you could look at that hole that they dug themselves at the beginning and blame the results of the game on that. They ultimately lost by 22. They got back within 9 points with a minute and a half left in the first quarter. Part of the problem was Jared Vanderbilt and Naz Reid both got into early foul trouble. A couple of the fouls were ticky-tack, but I mean, it isn't at this point, it's kind of a theme that those two guys get into foul trouble, but it happened quickly for both of them. Jaden McDaniels was the first Timberwolves player to come off the bench and had a great first stint. We'll talk more about his game here in a little bit. But the Wolves at the end of the first quarter were down by nine, they were actually down by 11 at the end of the first quarter. They had gotten within nine towards the end of the quarter after being down 19-4. And then the second unit had a great performance in the second quarter, led by Jordan McLaughlin, also Jade McDaniels. Eventually, Jake Lehman came in for McDaniels, got his first regular rotation minutes since he was gone on paternity leave for a couple games, and he had fallen out of the rotation actually just prior to that as well. So the return of Jake Lehman, he played fairly well, especially early. Jarrett Culver had a very nice first stint on both ends of the floor. Didn't do a ton offensively, but was active and was solid on defense. And there was just kind of this synergy with McLaughlin and Culver and Lehman especially. But also, you know, Ed Davis played well. It was just kind of a really good stint. A lot of it coming with Steph Curry on the floor or off the floor. He played the entire first quarter and then rested for a little at the start of the second. But the Wolves kind of hung in there. And then at the end of the second quarter, things, you know, this has happened the last few games where the Wolves have really struggled to close out the first half, and the Wolves ended up losing the quarter by three, which meant they were down by 14 at halftime. And it felt like it could get even further away very quickly. And sure enough, the Warriors did stretch their lead to 18 in the third quarter. In fact, they stretched it to 18 multiple times in the game before the Wolves kind of kept chipping away, pushing back, getting to within 12. It hung around 12, 13 points for a while. Eventually, the Wolves got within eight, but they never got closer than 8 points. And eventually Steph Curry just kind of took over. He had a difficult three, had a turnaround jumper from the mid-range. He got into the paint a couple of times. He got an offensive rebound and a putback, and was just kind of too much for the Wolves. In typical Wolves fashion, they were killed early by a 20% three-point shooter in Kelly Oubre, who hit a couple of early threes in this game. And then late down the stretch, they gave up a couple of buckets to Draymond Green, which was not to be expected. And then Andrew Wiggins did what Andrew Wiggins can do and is capable of doing, which is, contribute in multiple ways, which he very rarely did with the Timberwolves. But he continues to do it with Golden State. Three steals, three blocks in this game, six rebounds, and had 23 points, which is kind of a typical Wiggins with the Warriors game, at least since the first week, 10 days of the season. Shot 10 of 19, 2 of 5 from 3, and had a couple of big baskets down the stretch as the Warriors were starting to pull away. So this game was just kind of, it was weird. Outside of that 19-4 start, it kind of kept getting pushed to an 18-point lead, back to 12, back up to 16, to 13, to 18, to 12. And the Wolves kind of lived in this 12 to 18-point deficit for much of the game. But they pushed closer for that chunk of late third quarter, early fourth quarter, where it was more like an 8 to 12-point game. And unfortunately, the bench didn't get quite the same amount of push in the second half as they did in the first. And then Steph Curry was just enough to slam the door for Golden State. So overall, outside of the first probably 5 or 6 minutes of the entire game, the Wolves had really solid effort, solid ball movement on offense, and they competed defensively. They had some really good stretches with impressive steals, transition points. Malik Beasley was very good in transition. We'll talk a lot more about Beasley here in a minute. So it's tough to be too frustrated with this game. Sans Towns, I know the 22 points doesn't look good, and I mean, it's not good. Then the way the Warriors were able to just kind of put the Wolves away at the end was a little disconcerting. You have to remember, the Warriors had by far the best player on the court in this game, and it wasn't close. Steph Curry is a former MVP. He's still an all-NBA first teamer, even now at 32 and coming off some injuries. And the Timberwolves, I mean, Malik Beasley was their best player. Jordan McLaughlin was their second best player in this game, if not their best all-around player. Those two guys were their best players. Beasley was somebody who was traded in something of a not a straight salary dump, but a trade last year because the Nuggets didn't want to pay him an extension. And Jordan McLaughlin's on his second two-way contract. And those two guys were the Wolves' two best players easily. The Golden State Warriors had Steph Curry, an all-world player, on their side. And while the Wolves hung in there tough, Curry pulled away at the end. And it was all Steph Curry. So, obviously, the Wolves shouldn't be losing by 22 points. But they were in this game. They played hard. They continued a lot of what they did on Saturday against the Pelicans. But Steph Curry's better than anything the Pelicans had to offer on Saturday as well. And as a whole, the Warriors are better, at this point, better coached and play harder and more cohesively than that Pelican squad the Wolves saw on Saturday. So we all knew this, but winning without Towns and without D'Angelo Russell is simply not sustainable. And that definitely was the case on Monday in Golden State. I want to talk overarching takeaways from this game. Some common themes, and then I want to get into individual studs and duds as well. Before we do that, though, let's talk about our great friends at betonline.ag. I talked about this on Monday. I decided to take the plunge and finally really get in there with betonline.ag. Was excited about my Spurs +3 bet and actually took it with a parlay, the Sixers -6.5. Well, turns out I would have missed the Sixers side of it anyways, but the Spurs Pelicans game was, of course, canceled because neither team had the 8 players that they needed due to COVID health and safety protocols. So, I had a couple other bets in there, NCAA basketball bets as well. If you're not involved on betonline.ag, you have to get involved. There's only one place that has you covered for betting online and one place that we here at Lockdown trust, and that is betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Of course, NFL Super Bowl upcoming. Get ready for some insane prop bets. That's always one of the most fun days of the year for live betting, for prop betting. Smack dab in the middle of conference, college basketball play, and of course the NBA season. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Get Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast. And again, it's brand new, breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. All right. In terms of overarching takeaways from this game, the Timberwolves offense, I tweeted about this at halftime. I mean, they had, 54 points at halftime, which given no D'Lo, no Cat, that's not a bad half of basketball against a fairly good defensive team in the Warriors. Remember, the Warriors are actually kind of middle of the pack defensively. It's their offense that's actually struggled this year without consistency, you know, spreading the floor outside of Steph. They just don't have nearly the offensive consistency that they would, obviously, with Klay Thompson, a fully healthy Draymond Green, all that stuff. But the Timberwolves actually ran their offense fairly well early in the game. Ricky Rubio didn't have a good game, and we'll talk more about that here in a minute as well, from an individual standpoint. But he ran the offense fairly well. The Timberwolves had a lot of good action going on. They got on transition. They ran. But for the most part, it just wasn't as consistent as it was on Saturday. It was like the second quarter was easily their best stretch, and that was Jordan McLaughlin initiated. And then the second half kind of devolved into just Jordan McLaughlin pick and rolls over and over, often him shooting the mid-range kind of runners and floaters and, you know, tough shots at the rim. The Warriors were basically letting McLaughlin shoot, and he played well. He shot 7 of 12 from the floor and was taking what they were giving him. But outside of that, the Wolves weren't getting very many open threes, and when they weren't making them. For the game, the Timberwolves were 8 of 24 on threes, 33%. You're not going to often see the Wolves make just 8 threes in a game, and half of them were by Malik Beasley. It was just a disappointing performance offensively after everything ran so smoothly on Saturday, and they ultimately scored 108 points, but there was just a little too much. When the Wolves can't get into their sets where they're getting Malik Beasley these catch and shoot threes, you know, with no Towns and no Russell, and they're not getting in transition enough. They only had 8 steals on the night, which is okay. But they needed to get out in transition more often than that if they were going to beat a team like the Warriors, who's comfortable playing at a fast pace themselves. And that was one of the major issues in this game. This is a takeaway as well, as it'll be something that I discuss in Studs and Duds, but both J-Max were good. Of course, both Jordan McLaughlin and Jaden McDaniels. I'll talk a little more about McDaniels because we'll get to McLaughlin here in a minute. McDaniels played 26 minutes off the bench. As I mentioned earlier, he was the first substitute in the game for the Timberwolves after, I think it was Vanderbilt got 2 fouls before Nas did in the first quarter. But McDaniels had a great first stretch. He had, a nice pump fake, move into the paint, and hit kind of a nice runner. That was a difficult shot. He later in the game hit an open corner three, not wide open, you know, mostly open corner three, but kind of caught it in rhythm and made it. 7 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists in 26 minutes, no turnovers. He did have a steal, committed 4 fouls, shot 3 of 9 from the field. And he was aggressive, which is a huge part of what the Wolves need out of their bench. Well, really out of everybody on the team. But he was really aggressive. He didn't have any blocks in this game. You know, that was something he'd done a lot of over the past week, was he was swatting shots left and right, it seemed like. But he was around the rim. He was contesting shots. His length bothered the Warriors clearly. And so this was a perfect example of a guy's length and athleticism impacting a game without actually getting any blocks. So this was a good game for Jaden McDaniels. And he's still extremely raw, and the numbers aren't going to bear out that he's played well over the past week. But outside of, I think it was the Friday game against Atlanta, he really struggled. But besides that, you go back a week, you know, the Orlando game, middle of last week, the Pelicans game Saturday, this game, he's played like 4 out of the last 5 games. He's played fairly well. And he deserves a chance, especially with no Towns, with this team struggling towards the bottom of the Western Conference, at the bottom of the Western Conference. He deserves a shot to prove that he belongs. And if nothing else, the way that he played and has played overall, but especially played on Monday night in Golden State, you know, it points to him having a solid NBA career, and certainly there being a lot of upside for Jaden McDaniels. Ricky Rubio had a tough game. We'll talk more about Rubio here in a little bit. And just unfortunate that he couldn't get his shot going. He had some bad turnovers as well. Anthony Edwards had an up and down game. I won't talk about him in Studs and Duds because he did enough to stay out of the dud category. He did have 15 points. He also had a monster jam. He took off from just outside the dotted half circle, you know, about 10 feet from the rim, and just had a hammer dunk around James Wiseman. It wasn't quite over James Wiseman, but that was second quarter, and it was just unbelievable. And for the game, though, he shot just 4 of 13 from the field. He did get to the free throw line 7 times, shot 6 of 7 at the line, missed 2 3-pointers that were kind of ugly earlier in the game, and then hit one basically in garbage time that was in rhythm, and it looked really good. He got great elevation and great extension on the jumper. And he did get 3 rebounds in 27 minutes, which, you know, baby steps. It's better than 1 rebound in 24 minutes or whatever he had the other night. And he had an assist and a steal. So showing that he can do a little bit more and also not settling for the jumper. For him to have 13 shot attempts and 3 of them be 3-pointers, meaning he shot 10 non-threes plus 7 free throws, that's a really good sign. 15 points on 13 shots isn't great, but it's a lot better than what we've seen recently from him. I was encouraged by his aggression in this game. There still are some of those red flags in terms of lack of rebounds, lack of other counting stats, showing that he's not, you know, entirely engaged defensively or on the glass or knowing his assignment necessarily. Those are issues still. And also, it feels like he's looking a lot less to be a playmaker than he was early in the season. And I don't know if that's just him getting tunnel vision and the coaching staff telling him constantly to be aggressive and try to get to the rim, to get fouled, get to the free throw line, dunk over guys. All that's great. But some of that playmaking edge that we saw earlier in the season, which is something that I talked a lot about, that I don't remember seeing from Andrew Wiggins really at any point in his Timberwolves career. Those were things Edwards was doing early in the year, especially in the pick and roll. And we've seen a little bit less of that of late. So we'll see what happens. If that's something that kind of comes back into his game, if maybe when he plays more with Towns, eventually once Towns returns and they kind of play around with the rotation, if that's something that can resurface in his game, that would be really, really good for the Timberwolves second unit and the rotation as a whole. All right, next I want to get into studs and duds, who played the best for the Timberwolves, who played the worst, and why. Before we do that, though, let's talk about our great friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The rockauto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, and best of all, say it with me, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. They're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Let's also talk about our great friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. Tastes exactly like a candy bar. New and improved. I had a toffee almond on Monday. It was amazing. Looking forward for a cherry Barcia. I'm going to give the blow by blow. I've got this whole list of flavors down. I can't wait to try all of them. The ones that I haven't tried. Cookies and cream, I already know, is fantastic. Caramel brownie. Mint brownie is also great. Salted caramel. Again, it tastes just like a candy bar, but it's good for you. It's healthy. It's a protein bar, but it doesn't taste like a protein bar. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're perfect if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight or just maintain weight, while still indulging in a delicious treat that tastes like candy, but is healthy for you. The bars are low calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. Perfect if you're on a keto diet. Right now, for limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase, but only while supplies last. Again, a free cooler, but only while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, before we get to studs and duds from Wolves Warriors on Monday, a note about our Lockdown podcast, Rejecting the Screen. They have a special episode upcoming, and it's hard to believe it's been a year since we tragically lost Kobe Bryant. On the Rejecting the Screen podcast, hosts Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe's life and career with a two-part special this week. Hear stories you haven't heard anywhere else about Kobe from teammates, opponents, coaches, and journalists. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen and listen this week to celebrate the life of one of the NBA's all-time stars. All right, studs and duds from Wolves Warriors. Voice is sounding a little rough right now, I think. I blame that on coaching a 6U basketball team and having practice and then watching a game and recording a podcast following the 9 p.m. Central game. So if the voice is a little rough, that's why. It's because of the coaching and recording podcast all in one night. So bear with me. So I want to talk studs and duds. Studs for this game were really easy. The Timberwolves had two players that were awesome and a bunch of players that weren't. They had a bunch of guys that were just okay and some guys that had rough games. Malik Beasley was really good in this one. He had 30 points on 10 of 18 shooting, 4 of 9 three-point shooting, made all 6 of his free throw attempts, had 7 rebounds in 30 minutes, a steal, only committed 3 turnovers. Just a really good all-around game from Beasley. Really good to see. He scored in a variety of ways. The Timberwolves, of course, called a number of plays for him to come around pin downs and catch and shoot threes. And he was effective there. He was effective in transition. He scored a little in the mid-range. Just a good all-around game from Malik Beasley. And as much as the Warriors broadcast really wanted it to sound like Andrew Wiggins was shutting him down late in the game, not exactly the case. The Warriors were switching everything defensively, and the Wolves just couldn't get the ball on time, on target to Beasley. And that's partly a function of how Beasley scores. So many of his points are coming off of his motion within play sets without the ball and not necessarily him creating off the dribble. He's done a little bit more of it lately, but typically within the Wolves offense, Beasley isn't creating for himself. It's just not a big part of his game. It's one of the reasons our own John Hollinger said it on the Hollinger and Duncan podcast around the time of restricted free agency or when he hit restricted free agency that he saw Beasley as a third guard because he doesn't create his own shot, doesn't impact the game defensively, doesn't create for others. All those things are true, although I think Beasley's outperformed John's expectations to this point in the season and certainly has, again, he's scored more off the dribble this year than he has previously in his career, but in this game, that was going to be a tall task. So the Wolves will take 30.7 rebounds out of Malik Beasley on 10 of 18 shooting, 4 threes any night of the week. So a good game from Bees. Jordan McLaughlin was the other outstanding player for the Timberwolves in this game, and he only played 22 minutes. There were 6 players on the Wolves that played more minutes than Jordan McLaughlin. And J-Mac had 15 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, and a steal. Shot 7 of 12 from the floor, was a +2 in a game that the Wolves lost by 22, and was really good. Had just 2 turnovers in the 22 minutes, 7 of 12 from the floor, 1 of 12 beyond the arc. I mentioned this earlier, but he was scoring. Floater game was on point in this game. He had a couple of floaters. He had several layups at the rim where he was just, you know, it's what we saw last year. He has a quicker first step than opponents give him credit for, or opponents assume that he doesn't have a quick first step. He gets past them and he's crafty enough at the rim. I think he only had 1 shot blocked of his 5 misses tonight, had a couple just kind of rim out. And he hit a big corner 3 as well. Towards the end of the first half, a difficult shot that he knocked down in the corner. So overall, a good game for McLaughlin, and he clearly outplayed Ricky Rubio, who started and played 26 minutes, which is, I guess, a transition into duds. I'm not going to give Rubio a dud. He did shoot just 1 of 8 from the field and had 4 turnovers, but he had 4 rebounds and 11 assists and a steal. He had 6 points on the 1 of 8 shooting. He did make all 4 of his free throw attempts. It wasn't a good game from Rubio. But there were some good things he did in the open floor. And in terms of running the offense overall, the 11 assists in 26 minutes is nothing to sneeze at, even with the 4 turnovers. And of those 4, at least 2 of them were really sloppy, just kind of really bad turnovers that he committed. But he wasn't the worst player on the floor for the Wolves in this one. I'm going to give that to Josh Okogie. Josh had a weirdly quiet 17 minutes. No points on 0 shots, no shot attempts in 17 minutes. For your starting wing, no rebounds in 17 minutes, which is a concern. 1 assist, 1 steal. That's it. He had 2 fouls. That's all he did. He played 17 minutes. The only things in the box score are 1 assist, 1 steal, and 2 fouls, and he managed to be a minus 14. The Wolves asked him to try and chase Steph Curry for a while, and that didn't go well. Not entirely due to Josh's fault, but the way that the Warriors used Curry, run him off of several screens. Okogie was having trouble fighting through them and still staying attached to Curry. Curry's just a different player than Okogie's usually asked to guard, and just didn't quite have it tonight. and was completely invisible offensively. It's not entirely Josh's fault because of what his skill set is and what the Wolves are asking him to do, but you just can't have one of your starters play 17 minutes, not attempt a shot and not grab a rebound. Every time that player is going to be a dud. We talked about Edwards already. He was aggressive enough and did enough things that he wasn't going to be a dud in this game. In similar fashion, you know, similar reason to why Rubio isn't as well. So the dud in this game, only one, goes to Josh Okogie for basically showing up and having no stats in 17 minutes in this game. Overall, the Timberwolves, you know, this was a disappointing outcome, but a game that they mostly played hard in. Hopefully, there's a chance that Towns comes back Wednesday. I wouldn't hold my breath since I believe he's got to get in a couple of individual workouts before then. There's been no discussion in the media from the Timberwolves on his health or Juancho Hernan Gomez for that matter. Hopefully, Friday's a realistic target when the Wolves return back home to play Philadelphia. That'll obviously be a really difficult game. Hopefully, the Wolves can earn a split and play hard Wednesday and give themselves a chance at a split out in Golden State. Wednesday's show will be a crossover episode. Myself and Wes Goldberg from Locked On Warriors talking all things about the Wolves-Warriors series, both Monday's game and then looking ahead to Wednesday, as well as the D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins trade. Get Wes's thoughts on it from a Warriors perspective. I'll give him my thoughts on it from a Timberwolves perspective. Of course, the draft pick that's still looming out there. We don't know what's going to happen with that for several months. That is going to be the, I guess, the deciding factor in this trade. But we'll, you know, I want to ask Wes what he thinks about what Wiggins has brought to the Warriors, and I'm sure he'll be wondering the same thing about D'Lo in Minnesota. Still somewhat of an incomplete grade, certainly, on the D'Lo portion of things, as he's only played, what, 5 games, I think, total with Karl-Anthony Towns over the past calendar year, which is just insane. But we'll get into all that on Wednesday's show, so be sure to tune back in for the show then. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.